This is RSBNB Update, episode 354, recorded Friday, March 30th, 2012. We nailed it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of RSBNB Update. Thank you for being with us. We're here this week, Mr. J1, J2, J3.
Yo.
A.K.A.
Trekkie.
Yes. And me, Shane. Just call me Shane. You don't need to tack those numbers on at the end. But,
Is that your PIN number?
No. I'm way smarter than that.
You never know, man.
I mean, that would be the stupidest thing to do, is to use a PIN number that's right out in front of you, you know?
Ah, but remember, the best place to hide something is out in the open.
Yes, yes. Is that something you picked up from Star Trek, or is that something you know in general?
Nah.
Okay. Well, I generally agree with that, but, you know, the PIN numbers, that's something people will try right away, so I try to keep my PIN number secret, and, you know, it's nothing to do with it. In fact, there's none of the numbers in that, in end of my name are actually in my PIN number. Well, one of them is. You'll have to guess which one. But
all right. It's nice that we started off this podcast right off topic.
Yeah, well, that's the way things go, eh? So, right. Just a bit of a rundown for this week's show, RS Updates, the monthly RSBNB Update focus featuring the Living Rock Caverns after that, a few questions, tech news, and then, of course, we'll just wrap up with a few other things and a bit of a reminder about something happening next week, so keep that in mind. So, the Mauritania tasks. We pretty much nailed these on the head, didn't we?
Yes, we predicted almost every single one. The only one we did not get was the free planks and some of the other rewards.
Yeah.
We nailed almost every single one.
Yeah, we got pretty much every task right that was there. I don't think there's much that we missed. I said you'll have to get all your people to level 99 in temple trekking, and sure enough you do. You'll have to said you'll have to make some prayer renewal potions. You'll have to do some barrow stuff. Runecrafting, fairy rings, so everything's pretty much standard as to all the other task sets or achievement diaries, as they used to be called out there. Is there any you want to draw attention to in particular before we talk about the rewards? Because they all are fairly basic.
You know, to be honest, everything is pretty standard. I guess the best way is, if we go down there, is to either teleport or take the fairy ring, because that's automatically an easy task done.
Yep, and so is using one of the portals in your house.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes with teleporting, but I think that goes with teleporting as well with the ancient spell book. But what's the other thing? Oh, and use the vial and plant some limp roots and some mushrooms before you start anything. That'll be helpful.
Yep, and also there's one where you have to do a set of brewing, so make sure you have the hops required for that, and it can be any kind of brewing possible, so just go for the most basic of hops and then put all that together and brew everything after that. You know, one thing I was surprised, but I guess it's not Mauritania, I'm surprised you didn't have to do a trouble brewing minigame, but that's mostly harmless. But you get there using the same way, so I kind of thought maybe they'd bring that into it, but I guess not.
That mini game isn't a mini game anyway.
Well, it's more of a mini game than some other things in the game.
The problem is that people don't do it.
I know, that's the problem with it. And you know, it's an interesting idea, the few times I've done it. And I think that people could, if they were to go do it, maybe get something out of it. I don't know, but it just seems as though it's an abandoned minigame. I don't know why we're talking about a minigame that's not even on the task set, but in any case, go do some trouble brewing.
yeah, not much for this test. Everything we predicted came true. So, you know, kill somebody at the tower, grow some herbs, kill the werewolf in human form.
Yeah, but this is an incredibly hard task for people who are hard task diary for people who are going to be relatively lower level. For two reasons I can see right here. First being you'll need 77 runecrafting, and you know 77 runecrafting is not one of the easiest things for most people to do. So that makes the elite tasks hard in this set. Also the fact you need 85 Slayer. I know lots of people take forever to get 85 Slayer and they don't feel as though it's a fast skill to trade, and they feel it's slow and takes a long time to get there. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And also mm-hmm. the fact you need 94 Herb Lore for the Prayer Renewal Potion that you have to mix in Mauritania entirely.
And you need, no, what is it, 90 what, farming for something for that too?
91 94? Farming, yes. Yeah. And there's also one that needs 96 fishing, but I think most people can get fishing up to 91 to use the pie for that, the Admiral Pie.
I love fishing.
Yes, that is one of your specialties.
Yay.
Everything else is pretty much standard, but they named the task about killing an abyssal demon Whip It Good.
makes sense.
Yeah, because they drop whips.
I didn't get one. Actually, I died when I was in there.
No, do you want to tell us about that?
I didn't go there with my nose plugs because I didn't feel like going to the bank and getting it. I thought that I could just, run in there with my rapier and just stab it a couple times, stab the demons and be done with it. Well, on my way back, the people that were there beginning before I went upstairs to fight the specters wasn't there anymore, and they started hitting me. And of course, as I didn't have my nose plugs with me, I had my skills drained. And as you know, Shane, you know how RS loves to do the whole, you know, back and forth thing if you're trying to click on something running away. I was trying to climb down the spike chain, and I couldn't because I did not realize until too late that they lowered my agility way too low.
Yep.
So I died to the Spectre, but you know, thanks to the Tombstone, I came back. Also, it was interesting because I got to talk to Death, talk to the Reaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's something
what
new.
What is this?
The Reaper, you know, the Death guy, Black Hood, and all that stuff.
No, I've not seen that. Well, I haven't died in a long time.
He actually has. I don't know if it's this update or one in one before, but. He has a little voice acting thing about how it's not your time and all that kind of stuff. I said, okay.
I see.
So, yeah, you should die next time, Shane. I can kill you if you want.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So let's talk about the rewards now.
Okay.
Easy rewards. Double fungi when using the bloob spell. That's from the Silver Sickle when you're in the swamp. Which is good because those fungi were one of my key methods to training Herb Lore early on. I would go there and make the super energy potions, I think they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Using the Mortmire. Yes, that's right. So that's good that's there. So if you're lower level, then you can use this. You'll get double that and increase your Herb Lore abilities for that.
And money.
Also at all times, 50% chance of a ghast ignoring you rather than becoming corporeal. And 5% more Temple Trek and Berg de Ramble rewards. And a 4K experience lamp as well. For use in a skill over level 25. So the medium tasks allow you to teleport to the slime pit under the Ectofunctus for 5 times a day. What do you think of this?
Which one? Oh,
the teleport to the slime.
I think that's useful, but only 5 times a day. It's not going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, five loads, what's that? That's nothing.
5 loads. Haha. You only get 28 buckets of slime per run, so you know, 28 times 5, that's all you're getting.
Yeah, so not that much. Also, time for making cannonballs when you're in Port Fizmades will be halved, so cannonballs will make faster. I don't know what that'll do in terms of for experience.
Well, isn't it
do you
almost
have
the
any idea
same?
what?
Well, isn't this wouldn't this almost be the same as smithing stuff in with Varrock armor in Edgeville?
Well, no, it's
The
the Varrock armor one isn't a constant half. It's random about when you use when you make two at a time. So this is,
I
I
see.
think, better in that way.
It may drive cannonballs price lower, but I think that's a good update. Smithing could use a slightly good update anyway. So,
Yes, I agree with that.
this is a
I don't
little
know. I'm
boost
not
for
sure
Smithing.
offhand what the XP is. So is effectively with this, you can double the amount of XP you get making cannonballs. Because I know cannonballs used to be really, really slow. Going forward, at all times, 13 bones exchanged for bone meal and buckets of slime per day. So essentially this is bypassing the entire thing. So you bring your bones there and talk to Robin, and you will ensure that you can just get some free prayer XP if you bring the bones. Also, this is what I'm really happy about. The mushroom patch no longer gets diseased.
Hey! Actually, it doesn't make sense for mushrooms to get diseased now, does it?
No, because they're fungus, and you know, fungus is
a disease itself.
Supposedly, disease itself, if it's left uncontrolled in places you don't want it. So, pickaxes in the Mort Ridge mine will no longer attack you after haunted mine is complete. That's good.
Let's see. And Lyra will look at, I have no idea, Lyra will look after the mushroom patch near Canifis and Canol. Oh, you read that one already. Sorry.
Yes.
Missed
that. Next up is Razmire will give you a daily choice between 30 noted normal planks, 20 oak planks, or 10 teak planks.
I go with the oak.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't want to do temple trekking again to get it done. I really don't. I went through
well,
the
it's too
easy
bad you couldn't do it together, because then you and I could do that, because I need to do it as well.
Dude, if we could do it together, I'd just grab you, me, Mike, probably like two other people, have a little group thing going on. You know, I'll carry all the food, you carry the extra weapons, and Jeremy can mage everything to hell. Mike can be there for social moral support.
That's not nice, putting him down that he's just there for moral support.
Well, he can be, all right, fine, he can be the body block every once in a while, you know? I can throw him in front of the enemy. Here, you go first.
And you'll also get an experience lamp worth 10,000 experience and a skill of your choice over level 46.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hard tasks. The legs, when worn, will allow you to better chance of keys from the Shades of Morden. 50% more XP from burning the shades, and 50% chance that Blood Altar teletabs don't break on use.
Hmm.
That's a good thing.
Which one was on use again? The teletab?
Yeah, the teletabs don't break on use. 50% chance that they won't.
Oh, the Blood Altar teletab. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Prayer drain is reduced to 50% in barrows, which is very useful.
Yeah.
So I don't
double runes from the barrows.
Double runes from barrows, 10% more temple trekking rewards, and what's this one? All ghosts will now talk to you as if you were wearing the amulet of ghost speak. Yay!
Yes. Yeah, so you don't need the amulet anymore in there. That's good.
Yay! Too bad already put them all together into the cramulet.
Yeah, well, that's okay. The Cramulet has its own special use. And the bone exchange will be upgraded to 26 bones rather than 13, and you get a 20k experience lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the Elite Rewards.
Oh, man.
Each essence has 10% chance of gaining a second blood rune.
Yay!
50% more XP from burning the Wire Watch. 20% chance of crafting 4-dose prayer renewal potion when making it in Wartadia, and plus 10% Slayer XP for kills when the Slayer Tower and on task.
Oh, this one's only so you finish up first, sorry.
Yeah, 39 bones exchanged for free per day, and double mushroom yield on the patch anywhere in Wartania.
I don't know. 10% doesn't seem very much for a Slayer XP for doing
Well,
all of this.
it's important because the Slayer Tower is old, and most people do their Slayer task elsewhere because you could do pretty much every task in the Slayer Tower elsewhere that's worth something. I think the only ones you can't are the Necreals. Or no, you can do the Necreals in the Chaos Tunnels. You can do the Abyssal Demons in the Abyssal Plane if you want. And you can do the Spectres in the Smoke and Kill Slayer Dungeon. So, I mean, 10% extra Slayer XP on a task, I'll definitely go to the Slayer Tower for that.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe 20% might be a little bit better. Or if anything, put the 10% in hard.
Okay, and then give 20% for elite, but you know that might make Slayer too fast. Or no? No, that's good because then people will have to train up their skills in order to do the elite tasks. And you know the vast majority of combat people out there do not have 94 herb lore and 91 farming.
Exactly. I mean, so, you gotta by the time you get all of this anyway, you're already a skiller, so getting a 10% as a hard reward is better because you need the highest one is 70, 76 fletching and wood cutting. Nobody who's just gonna be randomly killing is gonna get that anytime soon. That takes dedication. And
Yeah,
so
that's true.
putting that 10% in hard make it more balanced because like, hey, you're up there. You're just there, not there yet, but here's a little extra boost for you. And
Yeah, so it looks like I can do everything on this list here, except
the
the
temple tricking
summoning
one.
one, because it says it requires 87 summoning to summon the thing. But you know, you need level 99 and all of your temple trekking folks before you can do that.
Yeah,
And
that's
the
taking
only other
forever.
thing that's going to be really interesting on this one is working in the Shades of Morden because
I hate
I've
that
never actually
ooze.
done the Shades of Morden before.
Nor have I. I wanted to do it, but then when I started, I said, "All right, I'll start doing it." The price of that stuff just dropped because Borrowers
Yeah.
was released. It's like, that's useless.
What was that armor even called? Splitbark?
Shades, yeah, Splitbark armor, mage armor. It was the one of the best ones at the time. It was worth a lot, and then
Yeah, it
Borrowers
was.
came
It
out,
was
and
the top end mage armor in the game when it came out.
Then
So.
Borrowers came out, and it was like, yeah, we don't need this anymore.
Yeah, and also let's also mention the early boost or the early bird bonus. So if you complete the easy and medium tasks before April 11th, you'll be able to get an extra 15K lamp for any skill over 50.
Hey Shane.
Yes.
Hey Shane. Hard task. I bought your stuff back. Equip a full set of Borrowers gear in the Borrowers. That's funny.
Yeah. And Splitbark goes for 116K now, the entire set.
Alrighty then.
Well, that's that. So tweaks and fixes this week. Priest in Peril is no longer required for reaching Mauritania. That's sad.
I don't know why they keep doing this. It was a druidic ritual to start using herb lore, and then it was a wolf whistle for summoning, and now they get rid of this one to get to this area.
Yeah, and you know, it was such a central part of that quest. And the quest wasn't hard. I did it when I was like level 50. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense why that would be removed. And that's a very dangerous place when you look at it if you accidentally attack one of those people in Caniphus there. So,
Yeah,
but.
when they think it's only level 3 human, and
Yeah.
then you need the weapon too in order to fight them as
Yes,
human form.
that's right. So,
Well, it's
I
basically a
mean,
nasty surprise for anybody who doesn't read.
I wish they wouldn't have done that because this was one of the first quests that came out after I got members. Actually, well, close, but it was one of the first quests I did when I one of the first members quests I did when I got members. And the way this quest worked is this was way back in the day of about 6 months after RS2 first came out, and they were still getting it down the way everything was going to work with the quests and whatnot. So you had to kill this guard dog in this quest. And the way it worked was that there were so many people down in the basement doing the quest that you had to wait to grab to fight the guard dog. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember that very well. It became a game of like, who can click the fastest.
Yeah. So that's just a bit of a memory I have on this. But it was such a milestone at the lower level to unlock this in order to get into this new area that was to the east, this eastern land of unknowns. So, I don't know. I wish they didn't do this. But at the same time, there are benefits for the people who are like skill peers and don't want to do this and want to use the farming patch there. So, I don't know. That's just how I feel on that.
It just does. Well, we'll beat it to death in the future. But let's see. Any tweaks and fixes that you saw that was interesting?
XP reward interface graphics have been changed. They made them look more like the rest of the interface. And, you know, I prefer the old one better. The new one is more metallic, and, you know, it just doesn't feel like it's as RuneScape-ish as it could be.
Let's see. Not possible to make 10 barakmal. I have no idea how to say that word at all.
Backriminal
bolts at a time using the make X interface. So that's a good little change.
Yeah, that's good.
Other than that, not much.
Yep. So that's it for RS updates this week. Do those tasks and try to get the early bird boost. My plan was to have easy, medium, and hard done by the time we started this show today, but I kept getting sidetracked with various things. So
I just don't feel like doing temple trekking. That's the thing.
Well, we could do it. We could do it at the same time.
Well, we can't do it together to do it. I just don't feel like doing it. I didn't even feel like doing it in the past. I don't even feel like doing it now.
You know what your problem is with this? Your problem with temple trekking?
Okay, go for it.
Your problem is that you've got this old idea in your head that temple trekking is this tedious thing from back when the people were idiots, and they actually made the people smarter when they updated it last year. So it's not as bad as it used to be.
Well, that's the case. I'm going to grab some sacks of cabbages.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to go talk to the guy in Omashu.
In where?
Omashu.
Where's that?
Oh, you won't get it, Shane, but fans of the show will get it.
What's Omashu? Is that like some Japanese town?
It's a city somewhere in a fantasy world.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, with that being said, that's it for RS updates, and now it's time for our monthly focus interview. This month, we've got a discussion with Uncle Dano regarding the Living Rock Caverns. Hello, everybody. We're here with another section of RSBNB Update Focus. This month, we are covering the Living Rock Caverns, that place where you can go mine and get some fantastic mining experience. And we have somebody that the majority of the RSBNB community knows, Uncle Dano. If you do not know him, this is your chance to get to know him. So hello to you, Uncle Dano.
Hello, Shane, and hello, everybody.
It's great to have you back on the show to discuss Living Rock Caverns and just what exactly can come from the Living Rock Caverns if you know what you're doing. Because if you don't know what you're doing, it just seems like another mining place. But if you know what you're doing, you can get some fantastic experience rates down there. And that's exactly what we're going to be telling you guys about today. So Uncle Dano is going to brief us on that, and we're just going to get right into it. So first up, the requirements for the Living Rock Caverns.
Okay, well, the requirements are 77 mining to do the concentrated coal veins in there, and there are 8 spots scattered around the caverns. or 80 mining if you want to go for the concentrated gold. I'd recommend trying to wait until you get to 80 mining in order to do that, because you're really going to maximize experience if you wait a little bit longer and get your mining up. Now, there are four spots in the Living Rock Caverns for the concentrated gold, and they're basically in the northwest, northeast, southeast, and southwest corners of the cavern or so. So we've got 12 total spots of this concentrated gold and concentrated coal veins that are sitting there, these rocks. And these things are just like a fishing spot or even a tree, so that when you're trying to mine, as you mine, you click once and it just comes into your inventory until these concentrated rocks actually kind of wear out, and then they turn over. You don't get any ore out of them anymore, and you have to go to the next one or wait for that one to replenish itself. So those are the requirements. Now, there are what are called unofficial worlds for these things, for the Living Rock Caverns, and that's where people will gather and all participate in Living Rock Caverns all at once. Those are worlds 77. 84 is in the UK, and there's 88 as well, world 88. So those are three. Unfortunately, because of all the people in there, you might find it laggy. So it really doesn't matter. We're going to take you through the Living Rock Caverns and the techniques in that. I prefer just going into a world with very few people, but some people may prefer to do those other worlds. And the more people that are in the worlds, the less you are going to get bothered by the monsters that are in there.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense, because I know that's a strategy for other things in RuneScape as well. So. Now, what about the experience rates that you can yield down in the Living Rock Caverns?
Well, you can probably get, without using, say, a sacred clay pickaxe, just a normal pickaxe, about 70 to 75K an hour. A normal trip into the Living Rock Caverns usually lasts you a little bit more than an hour, probably about an hour and a half or so, or an hour 20 minutes. I've gotten up to about 90K doing that. That's certainly a far cry from just mining ore in the mining guild or just out in other mines in RuneScape. So this is basic amount, and you can actually enhance that to even higher levels. And we're going to go through all the different little techniques, tips, and tricks in order to try and get as much experience out of the LRC as we can.
All right. So hour and 20 minutes, that's a perfect length to listen to an episode of RSBNB Update or something similar if you want to go down there and mine. So hopefully you're doing that as you're listening to this, or maybe do that next week since you'll know how by then. So, as you mentioned, the Living Rock Caverns is not a place that is the most safest place on RuneScape, and there are a few monsters down there. Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown on what they are?
Yeah, they're called Living Rock Creatures. One is the Living Rock Protector. It's a level 120. It uses melee. There's a Living Rock Striker. He's a level 140, and he uses ranged, and he's the most annoying thing I've ever seen in trying to train a skill. He's sitting there wielding these huge bowling ball-sized rocks at your head, and he follows you all over the place. If you ever get near him and he starts to attack you, he can become extremely annoying. And then there's this occasional monster that comes out usually once every hour or 2 hours, I believe. It's called the Living Rock Patriarch, and it's a level 200. It's not the hardest thing to kill, and it actually gives you some decent rewards. So if you're a decent level combat and you've got all your combat gear and you see this patriarch and you're in the Living Rock Caverns in a world where there's not too many people, I definitely say go for it. If you've got your dragon pickaxe, you can certainly easily kill it with your dragon pickaxe, but if you have another weapon, that's great too. The rewards from this thing are actually quite good. You get 3 noted runite ore, 8 noted diamonds, 125 blood runes, 125 mud runes, and the chance to mine the living rock minerals from this thing, as well as the other creatures. You mine the living rock minerals after they die, and those living rock minerals are used as bait to go after rock tails and that if you're fishing. So those are the monsters. The one to really pay attention to is a living rock striker, the one that uses ranged. If you go in there and I said, you know, you need to have some armor to protect yourself against these things. This is a dangerous area. You don't want to fall asleep while you're doing it because these things will come after you and they can do some decent damage on you and you don't want to die there. So those are the guys you got to pay attention to.
Okay. And just a question with regards to the Patriarch. Do you get all of those reward items from a Patriarch when it's killed, or is that just the possibilities of what it may provide you?
You get all of those. You get all of those every time you get that. That's the full drop.
Okay, because I'm looking at the Runite Ore and the Blood Runes in particular. Those are pretty appealing.
Yep. Yes, definitely.
Okay. So now that you know what you might encounter down in the Living Rock Caverns, what kind of equipment should somebody take down there?
Okay, well, I'm not really high-level combat. I'm like a 116 or something. So you do want to bring some armor, okay? There's other pieces of things you need to wear in order to really maximize your experience bonuses down there. But good armor is essential, especially ones with high defense. If you have the Varrok armor, and I would definitely at least go for Varrok armor 2 or above from the task list, the Varrok task list, we used to call them the achievement diaries, wear that. Because when you're mining and you're wearing the Varrok armor, you get a chance of mining another ore. So, and the Varrok armor actually is got some defense to it. So, you know, you've got some defensive capabilities by wearing that piece. Now, if you are 68 mining and you've completed the King of the Dwarves quest, definitely go for the golden mining suit. And that comes from the Lava Flow Mine. And RSBB update actually covered the Lava Flow Mine when it first came out. It's not a really complex area to go mining. And I actually got my mining suit relatively quickly, I think within about 4 hours to get two sets. So I was lucky.
That is pretty quick.
And luck is the key. Luck is the key down there.
As I remember when we were discussing this on the show, Trekkie took, I think, about 40 hours to get a set. So you were pretty lucky in that regard.
Wow. Yeah, I was. And, you know, the golden mining suit, what that gives you is a 2.5% bonus mining experience. It does not provide you with any defensive capabilities, though. So all the other pieces that you have, like a shield, definitely, and your Varrok armor can be swapped for the upper part of the golden mining suit. And I would definitely do that for two reasons. One is you're getting the bonus mining ore by wearing both of those items. It doesn't matter which one you wear. They're interchangeable. You get it whether you're wearing either one. But the Varrok armor actually is lighter than the golden mining suit top, and it provides you some defense, whereas the golden mining suit altogether provides zero defense for you. So wear all the other pieces of the golden mining suit with the Varrok armor. You're getting a full 2.5% bonus from wearing the suit, and you're getting the double mining, the double ore from the Varrok armor. Okay. The Varrok armor actually is lighter than the top. Now, this golden mining suit, when you wear it, is actually a total of 48 kilograms in weight. And you are going to be running back and forth, and it's a heavy piece of something to wear. It really drags you down. So if you don't have high agility, you're going to run out of run energy really quick with this thing on.
Okay. So that's something I think we should highlight, is that keep in mind your agility level and whether or not you can afford this extra 48 kilograms worth of weight before considering the golden mining suit.
Yeah, and I mean, you got that 48 kilograms of just what you're wearing. Now, that goes down a little bit if you're wearing the Varrok armor top because it's lighter. But you also have to remember that when you're full in your inventory of ore and you're running back to the deposit pulley where you're going to deposit all your stuff into your bank, you got a full inventory of ore, and that is heavy too. So you are really, really heavy running back to deposit, and you don't want to run a long way, and you got to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing we wanted to say is that, you know, you have monsters down there. As you run back and forth between the mining spots and the deposit pulley where you're depositing your ore, you probably will get hit by these monsters a couple of times. The melee might strike you a few times, but it's that living rock striker that might hit you as you're running. And they can do some damage. And over time, that'll wear you down if you don't have something to replenish your life points. So I usually bring my enhanced Excalibur. I have the Elite Enhanced one because I've got the Sears headband for. But you can also just bring the regular Enhanced Excalibur. And what that is you get the regular Excalibur sword by completing Merlin's Crystal quest. And then when you go through the Sears achievement diaries or the Sears tasks and you get to Sears Headband 3, you can upgrade it to the Enhanced Excalibur. And that gives you a special on it that replenishes 200 life points. The Elite Enhanced Excalibur is from the Sears Headband 4, and that actually replenishes 400 life points. This is a great piece of equipment, especially for here, because you don't use it that often, and you need to replenish your life points every so often, and there's enough time between the special bar filling up and you needing it to have this. It's perfect. It just only takes one spot, and you've got unlimited replenishing for your life points.
Another thing with the Excaliburs is that it also boosts your defense, so it will go a little bit further in preventing and taking down those amounts of damage that you take from the living rock creatures down there.
Yes, good point. Good point, yep. Okay, the next item in your equipment, what do you wear as a ring? Well, I'm paranoid about lag and lagging out and running between the rock and the bank pulley box there and being smacked by something that's starting to attack me and dying in there. So I will wear a ring of life. Or if you're confident about your defensive capabilities and your armor and that, just wear the explorer's ring in case you need to replenish your run energy. The one thing that you don't need to wear is the ring of wealth, because the ring of wealth, you know, people say you get a chance of getting double gems when you're mining it, but you get no gems down here in the Living Rock Cavern, so don't even bother wearing the ring of wealth for gems. And the gem bag too, you don't need it down there either, because you're not getting those gems from the concentrated minerals. The amulet of glory is what I wear. Any amulet that basically will give you some defensive capabilities is good. If you're down there and you really want to try it out at 77 mining and go for the concentrated coal, bring a coal bag, one of the rewards you can buy from Dungeoneering tokens, because that might be beneficial, because once you fill up your inventory, you can fill up your coal bag and stay at that vein the longer. And the longer you stay at the rock and the less you have to run back and forth between depositing, the more experience you're going to get, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how about a cape? The Ardoin cloak is good if you use prayer and protect from ranged is probably what I use most often to offset the damage from the Living Rock Striker. So I'll wear the Ardoin cloak for that, for the prayer bonus, or the Obsidian cape for the defense bonus, something that gives you some defensive or prayer regenerating abilities. Some of the other settings that you might want to, and this is just getting away from equipment, but you might want to set your character up for, is make sure under the combat tab that you turn auto retaliate off, so that if something does attack you, you're not changing course and going after this creature, because you want to be there to mine, really, not yeah. fight.
Yeah, and I'll stand up to that, because I went down there once and tried to do the mining, and the first time I got hit by one of the rocks, it did turn out that I decided I was going to run over and whack the thing with the pickaxe, because Audio Retaliate was on.
Yeah, I learned that. The game tab filter, where the messages from the game come up, turn that on filter. Not just on, because you don't want to see every message about every ore coming into your inventory. You actually do want to pay attention to certain messages that come up in the game. And those would probably be in orange or red. And those are things that would remind you that your familiar might be running out, or something like a mining urn is full, or your juju potion's wearing out, something like that. And so those are essential messages to actually pay attention to. So put your game tab on filter. And basically that takes care of everything as a way of setup and as far as equipment.
Okay. So now that you know what to take down there, what do you actually put in your inventory when you go down there? Because we know what your equipment loadout's going to look like, so what do you bring with you aside from what you're wearing?
Okay, well, you want something to mine with. I actually wield the Elite Enhanced Excalibur because it's just logical for me just to switch to combat tab and press the special bar in order to replenish my life points and have my pickaxe in my inventory. I use a dragon pickaxe. If you can use a dragon pickaxe, which just requires 60 attack to wield or 61 mining to use it, get one. If you have lots of money, that's great. They're only about 12 million GP. When they first came out, they actually rose to about 18.4 million. And that's the peak price for that on the Grand Exchange. But interesting enough, in last year, it actually dropped way down to 8.5 million. I couldn't believe how far it crashed that low. So that's actually a very good price. I paid 12.5 for mine. And it's worth every GP. I just like it. It brings in the ore a lot quicker than Rune. It is the fastest, actually, pickaxe of them all. Okay. Or you can use a Rune pickaxe. Or if you can't afford the dragon or you just don't have the you would have the mining requirements, obviously. If you're just using a Rune pickaxe, you can't afford a dragon, I would definitely consider going and playing some Stealing Creation and putting a few Stealing Creation morphic SC pickaxes in your inventory too, because they're going to give you some double mining experience. The other thing in your inventory are definitely for the LRC, which is really beneficial, are Juju mining potions. Now, we'll get into the details behind those, but basically you could use four-dose Juju mining potions, giving you 16 doses total in just the regular vials. Or if you're doing the flasks, bring three of those full flasks of six doses. So that gives you 18 doses of the Juju mining potions. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we'll get into that a little bit later. But that, in real quick summary, it helps deposit the ore while you're mining it instead of having to run back and go to the deposit pulley. It's a great little thing. And when we go through it and we combine all of our little enhancements that we're going to talk about and you see tons and tons of ore going into your bank, you're just screaming, yes. okay, what else we got? Oh, mining urns. Okay, mining urns are really, for mining, they give you 625 extra experience for teleporting them away. It's not all that much. It's pretty well balanced amongst the other skills and the other urns. It's not bad. If you bring quite a few of them, it adds up over time, and it only takes you 59 crafting to make these. That's the decorated mining urns. Okay. If you don't have that high enough crafting, make the lower mining urns, definitely giving you that bonus experience. If you have a couple of these in your inventories, they fill up very, very quickly. You can go through quite a few of them and get quite a few of that extra mining experience by having them in the LRC. You should have two of them in your inventory at all time, because they fill up so quickly that once one fills, the next one's going to fill really quickly, and you don't want to have to try and maybe go to your Beast of Burden and get another one out. You've missed five, six ores by the time you grab that thing.
Okay. That's a question I was going to ask. So you're storing the extra urns in the Beast of Burden, but I see we'll get to that in just a bit. So continue on.
Yeah, and urns of a certain type, and we'll get to there. There's a little nuance here. Okay, you want 12 earth runes. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit about this, is that you're going to have 12 of these decorated mining urns that, in brackets, they have the symbol NR, and that means no rune attached to it, I believe. These are the urns that actually don't have the earth rune attached to them, and these are the ones that you could sell on the Grand Exchange, and they're tradable. Once you put the rune on them, the earth rune, to make them into the regular mining urn with just the R in brackets behind the name, they are not tradable. So you cannot store those in your Beast of Burden. So you're bringing these 12 earth runes to activate these urns once you get them out of your Beast of Burden. You want to have 12 of those. I use a Spirit Terror Bird, which has 12 inventory slots. So I bring 12 earth runes to attach to them. If you're using a tortoise, you bring 18. If you don't have the enhanced Excalibur to replenish your life points, bring a couple good pieces of high healing food.
So monkfish, shark, rock,
yeah,
tail,
something,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, up there, because if you're taking a lot of hits, and remember, you're going to stay down here about an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you get hit enough, your life points are actually going to drop quite to dangerously low levels. If you're not high in combat, definitely the higher food, the better. Just a couple pieces just in case you get there. I mean, as you're going through it, you're going to get used to how to try and avoid the creatures and getting hit. And you know where the safe spots are. So as you get more practice, you'll find these areas and you won't get hit as often. You want a summoning familiar in addition to your beast of burden familiar, which you're going to have as you go into the LRC. You can have a summoning familiar that actually will give you a mining boost. And if you have a high enough summoning level, 73 or 83, you can get one of these creatures and they actually boost your mining level. That makes the ores come faster. If you actually play a lot of Barbarian Assault minigame, I've never played, actually, and I'm not afraid to admit that, but I'd like to play sometime because the Penance Horn, or the Master Penance Horn, seems really attractive because it actually also stacks with other bonuses like the Sacred Clay Pickaxe as far as experience bonuses. So I'd like to try and maybe have somebody who's an expert in Barbarian Assault minigame to actually maybe do a focus episode in the future and take me through on how to get the maximum number of points in there to get one of those things, a Penance Horn or a Master Horn.
That's a good idea. I will make a note of that. Also, with note to the Penance Horn and Master Horn, combining it with the Stealing Creation pickaxes, that takes the pickaxe experience rate from 2x up to 3x. So that's a stack. It's not 4x, as some people might think.
That's 3x, right.
But still, that's decent.
Yeah, it's three times. Yep, that's right.
All right. So now that we know what we're going to be taking down there, Familiars, I know you mentioned that you're going to be using a Beast of Burden, so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, the first Beast of Burden you're going to have is something you're going to fill up with 12 decorated urns or any other mining urn you can make that don't have the rune attached. So let's say we're doing a Spirit Terror Bird, has 12 slots. You put 12 of those in there. You're going to have two of the regular mining urns with the runes attached in your inventory. So you're going to have a total of 14 of these mining urns, and that should last you quite a while into your mining run here in the LRC. So if you have 14 of those and you teleport all those away, you're going to get a total of 8,750 extra mining experience by doing that. That's a nice little chunk of mining experience that you wouldn't normally get. So I like doing that. Any bit of mining experience that you can get is really a good thing because it's kind of tedious if you're just grinding away. The other familiar you want to have is something that boosts your mining level. I use an Obsidian Golem because I only have 80 summoning. That is at 73 summoning, you can get that. That gives you a +7 invisible mining boost. It lasts for 55 minutes. You can buy them on the Grand Exchange for about 3.4K. If you have 83 summoning, you can go for a Lava Titan, and that gives you a +10 invisible mining boost. That lasts for over an hour, 61 minutes, and those cost 3.8K on the GE. Now, these are made from a blue charm and an obsidian charm. Those are really, really essential in mining. You want to try and do everything possible in order to enhance how fast you want to get that ore in your inventory, and I definitely use these quite often.
Okay.
Now, if you don't have the summoning level to do one of those two, I'd say bring some more Beast of Burden familiars so that you can spend more time at the rock, fill up the Beast of Burden before you have to run over to the deposit pulley.
So with this, you use the Spirit Terror Bird first until all of its mining urns are used up, and then after that you will switch to the Obsidian Golem or Lava Titan. That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's right. And normally I have enough summoning points left in that I don't have to recharge them. I can just, it'll dismiss or its timer will run out. I'll have enough to summon the Obsidian Golem and then we're off on our way again. If you need to recharge your summoning points, there is a mini summoning obelisk right outside the Living Rock Caverns where you go down just to the east. And so you could just run quickly up there, recharge your points, and run back down and just summon your next familiar there.
Okay. So now the Juju Mining Potions, which you mentioned previously, give us a brief rundown on how you make these and what their effect is.
Okay, these things are the greatest thing in the game as far as mining is concerned. When you see these things in action and you're getting multiple ores, you're just loving it because you're getting massive mining experience and not having to move. These come from, the name escapes me again. the place that you get them?
Herblore Habitat.
Herblore Habitat. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what I like about what Jagex has done with the LRC and mining, and I'm just going to explain it here, is that all these little boosts that you're adding on to mining, actually, in order to train mining to its maximum potential, you're actually having to train other skills as well. And I like this because I'm more of an integrated kind of RuneScaper. I like training all my skills and having them work together. So this is a good example. Juju mining potions are an excellent addition to mining in the LRC. And you need 80 farming, 80 hunter, 74 herblore, and 80 construction in order to go into herblore habitat and make these Juju mining potions. What you're doing is you're growing the herb, and specific herb is Samaden. And you're attaching to it a draconic vine. And so that's from trapping the draconic juju or jadinko is the name of that little creature that you're trapping there. The hardest part of making these potions is actually trying to get the Samadin seeds. And you have to kill quite a few of the jadinkos in order to try and get this rarer type of seed. But definitely spend some time in herblore habitat and get your levels up to those levels. 80 farming, 80 hunter, 74 herblore, and 80 construction so that you can get in there and make these mining potions. They're a great addition to mining, especially in LRC. Now, what they actually do is each dose lasts for 5 minutes. And during that 5 minutes, you have a chance for 30 seconds of all of your mining ores actually being teleported to your bank. So you don't have to move. They're just being deposited. And that includes all the bonus ores that you're getting from all the other enhancements as well. So when this thing kicks in for 30 seconds and you're getting multiple ores and they're all being deposited, you're getting massive amounts of experience on the screen. And you don't have to move and you can stay longer at that rock before having to run to deposit. So that's a very, very efficient way of getting experience.
Okay. So you think that the Juju mining potions are definitely something that people should be using down there?
If they absolutely. Absolutely, okay. Yep.
And does it give you a little message when you teleport the ores away from the rock directly to your bank?
There is a message that comes up to basically say you've summoned a rock spirit and it's teleporting it away. And then there's another message that will come up and it'll say it's gone back down in the ground and it's no longer effective. I believe that is, however, not one of the ones that comes up during the filtering process in the game messages. It's one that will come up in the white message screen when you have all the game messages coming up. But it's not necessarily something you have to pay attention to. Once it kicks in, that's great. You see this little whirly blue sparkly thing happen and you know your ores are being teleported away.
So
and
there
then
is
once
an
it's
effect
stopped, yeah, there's an there effect. An you effect. Can watch the animation. Okay. You know it's in effect.
All right, that's good.
One of the things I also want to cover right now with that is when you're taking the doses of this Juju mining potion, you know, it has a time period of 5 minutes for each dose. You will get a message saying that it's about to run out on the screen in orange. So that will come up in the filtered game messages. Don't take another dose until you get the message that comes up and says it's run out. Because right at the very end, just before it runs out, it could kick into effect and you have another 30 seconds. I've had it where it just kicks in and all of a sudden it says your juju mining potion has run out. And for 30 seconds more, I'm still getting more deposits. So don't waste it. Juju mining potions are actually one of the harder potions to make in the herblore habitat because of the rare herb you have to grow. Treat these like gold. Be very conservative about them. Don't waste them. When you're ready to go back for another rock and start mining again and you've run out, that's the time to take a dose. If your inventory is almost full and you get that message you're about to run out, don't take another swig. Just fill up your inventory, go back, deposit, then come back to the rock, get ready to take another dose, and then you're on your way again. Use them very, very judiciously.
All right. We just got a few minutes left here. I know we wanted to mention regarding the shooting star distraction and diversion, but we'll just mention that in passing after. So if you could just give us a quick rundown of what a Living Rock Caverns run looks like from the top.
From the top? Do you want it with the shooting star or not?
Let's just include the shooting star now.
Okay, basically the Shooting Star D&D, I think everybody's very familiar with it. If you have a mahogany telescope in your POH, you can scope the star very quickly, go there and mine it. Once you mine it, you get a bunch of rewards. And one of the rewards is actually a chance for 15 minutes of getting an extra ore when you mine. So this is something that you're adding to all the other bonuses in the LRC. I usually do this before a mining run so that once I cash in, the clock starts ticking 15 minutes. What we're doing is we're going to run right to the East Falador Bank. We're going to deposit the rewards from the Shooting Star. We're going to load up our Spirit Terror Bird with our unruined urns, and we're going to get everything else that we need in our well, we should have everything in our inventory to go to LRC. We quickly run to LRC, get in there, and start mining with a Juju mining potion. So what that's doing is you are stacking everything all together all at once. And if you can imagine, and this is the scenario I want to get everybody to imagine, you're down there at the gold rock and you're starting to mine. You take a swig of Juju mining potion. You've got your two urns there filling. You're wearing your Varrock armor. You got your best pickaxe or even a sacred clay pickaxe. You've got the bonus mining coming from the star for 15 minutes. You got the bonus mining ore just from being in the LRC. And you got the bonus mining ore coming from your Varrock armor all at once. And so all of these ores are just bang, double, triple, quadruple, bang, 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 bang. And all of a sudden your Juju mining potion kicks in. And it's like, whoosh, there's like four ores going to your bank. And you should see the numbers pop up on your screen for your experience bonus. And this is remarkable, especially with a sacred clay pickaxe, too, because you're getting double mining experience for some of those ores, not all of them. But and I haven't even tried it with the penance horn on top of that. So you're combining all of these enhancements all together. You're filling these urns like within, I say, less than 1 minute for each urn. Just like bang, they're just like full. You're seeing the messages come on the screen. It's a quarter full. It's a half full. It's three quarters. And it's like you're whisking them off. And then when your inventory gets full, you run to the deposit pulley. Deposit, run back again, and keep doing that. I mean, once the star bonus wears off, you still got those extra things going on. And your Juju mining potions with those doses that we've explained should take you right through a two-hour run. So basically what you're doing is you're going to, and I've seen the most popular two spots in the LRC as being the Southeast Rock, which has a nice safe spot, and the Southwest spot. And it's those are the ones that are closest to the deposit pulley. The Southwest spot is out in the open, though. So if something attacks you, just run quickly to the other side of the rock, and it'll just keep a bead on you on the other side, and hopefully nothing else attacks you, and you can safely mine that rock. So those are the two. The one in the northeast corner of LRC does have another safe spot, but it's further away from the pulley. And the one in the northwest corner is way around down that long cavern where there's some rock tails and some other fishing spots. That's away from the monsters, but that's a long way to run back to the deposit pulley, so I don't recommend that one. So what you're doing is you're going to those two rocks, basically, in the southeast and southwest, the one that's out in the open, and you're doing those two running back and forth to the deposit pulley as you go. As your mining urns are used up in your inventory, and a good time to actually replace them is when you're back at the pulley depositing your gold ore. You just go into your familiar, take out two more, attach two runes to it, go back to the rock, and you're on your way again. And then you're just also filling up your topping up your Juju mining deposits as you go. So this is really, really the maximum way to get all that experience all stacked on one another and getting all of those little enhancements, the enhancements that you get from the making the urns, getting your crafting level up, your farming and your herblore level up, making up those potions, and you're building really a set of skills that really takes you to another level in mining where you're using other skills to get the maximum amount of mining experience. That is a fantastic concept, I think. And you're getting multiple ores, and you would not believe how many ores you're getting at the same time, especially early on with that 15 minutes from that star.
That is excellent. It really puts a new perspective on mining. It's nothing like mining used to be. I think we're pretty much done for this focus episode, unless there's anything else you want to mention before we close off here.
No, I think we've covered just about anything. I would love to actually take somebody if we want to do an event sometime, or we're going to say we're going to do a run, a mining run at the LRC. First, we're going to do a star, and then we're going to go run to the LRC, and I'll teach people actually as they go if they'd want. I think that would be really, really fun. I would love doing that. We could get a whole group of people actually helping to mine the star, which is you work in teams, you can actually get a couple of stars in a wave if you really wanted to, and we could all work together and get our mining experience up and actually learn this technique. I'd love to do that.
All right. Well, if anybody's interested in that, send Uncle Dano a PM, and we'll do our best to help organize that. So thank you, Uncle Dano, for the very interesting perspective on the Living Rock Caverns and enhancing mining. We will have full show notes for this, so everything mentioned here is included, plus a little bit more on the shooting star, which we did not get to. And that will all be found at update.rsbnb.com. And also, if you are interested in submitting an idea for RSBNB Update Focus, you can find the link on the RSBNB Update website. Just on the left-hand side there, click Focus Ideas. You'll get taken to a page where you can fill in all your information about what you'd like to see for a future RSBNB Update Focus. Maybe one on Barbarian Assault. Maybe one on something else. I don't know. It's entirely up to you, so if you have any ideas, please do send them along. Anyways, thank you, Uncle Dano. It was great talking.
Thank you, Shane. It was really a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, so moving on to questions now. We got two audio questions this week. First one from Bullet 8300.
Hey, my question is, Shane, will you be getting a permanent co-host anytime soon? And how many gigabytes in data per month should RuneScape use on my Macintosh? Because I have a 5 gigabyte plan now, and I want to know if I can continue to play RuneScape. This is Ball A300. Keep up the good work, guys.
So, you want to answer that first one?
Permanent co-host. That's your department, isn't it?
No, you need to answer that because that's you.
Oh, I'm not planning on going anywhere yet. So unless I have to do something that takes up more of my time and I'm unable to meet the requirements of the show, then I'll let Shane know and he does what he does best. Look around and see who can do it.
And, you know, that's been the case since the first episode of this year. So that question has been answered.
Alrighty.
Now, as for RuneScape data, RuneScape does not use a whole amount of data. You could even play it on a 56K connection once you have the game downloaded. So it's not using that much. At most, it's a few bytes per second. So I really wouldn't worry about it. You can essentially play RuneScape forever on 5 gigabyte data plan. You won't notice it. Phrase I used in the pre-show is you can play RuneScape until the cows come home.
Actually, I have a funny story about the dial-up in RuneScape. Back in the past, before you know everybody started having high-speed internet and 56K was the norm, I was at my dad's place and I just finished updating RuneScape. You know, this is classic. This is before RuneScape 2 came out. And, you know, it took forever to download. I'm sitting here waiting and waiting. Oh, it finally finishes. All right, I can start playing a little. I start playing it a little, and all of a sudden it says, oh, we have to close because Windows Update is soon. And I got so mad because now I have to wait another, you know, 20, 30 minutes before the game to update again instead of updating, like, all at one time before I started playing. It was mad. It was not fun, yeah. Shane.
So bandwidth is not an issue for RuneScape. The main issue is having enough speed to download it beforehand, which I think you do, because you said you have a 5 gigabyte cap, so I'm assuming you're using some kind of mobile tethering solution, so that's more than adequate enough to play RuneScape, and you won't run over the 5 gigabyte limit if you're just playing RS, so
yeah,
nothing to worry about.
By the time you reach the 5 gigabyte limit of RS, your plan, your 5 gigabyte plan should have reset already, like way before you reach it. And
yes, that's true.
So Shane, like just for kicks and giggles, how much bandwidth does a typical RS player use? Assuming they play, you know, I'll just say 8 hours at one day.
I'm not sure because I've never actually counted that. I just know it's a few bytes per second. I'd say less than 100 meg, probably.
Okay.
That's a guess, providing you have the game cached and everything. Because let's say, like you say, 8 hours playtime, and let's just assume 57, 55, 50, 60 bytes a second. So that's not that much at all. So, yeah, it's not that large.
Yeah, so you can play until the UFOs come home. Alrighty, so let's move on to the next question, shall we?
Yes, the next question is an audio question from Johnny Great, so I will play that right now.
Hey, RSBNB, this is Johnny Great. Sorry I haven't called in a little while, I've been busy. So my question is about music. Have you guys heard about the new dubstep revolution, and what do you think about it? Thanks, and have a great show. Thanks for all you do.
Interesting story on this, eh, Trekkie?
I'll let you go first, Shane, because we don't know how mine is going to end.
Well, I had no idea what this was, so I asked Mike, what's dubstep? So he sent me this link to YouTube. quite frankly, I made both of our ears bleed.
All right. Dubstep.
So it does not sound... I'm sorry if you like dubstep, but it just sounded like it was ruining whatever was trying to play in the background.
All right. So I'll just say this. Dubstep Revolution sounds like Commander Data got infected with a computer virus that is now trying to drive a semi-trailer while it is parked, while Data is trying to give an Android mating call. Oh, Shane, you're supposed to laugh at that point.
I don't know what that would be because that's not something he does.
As I said, he had a computer virus, and you were laughing before we started doing this.
That was before you inserted the part about the Android mating call.
All right.
So, in any case, we're not fans of it. Thank you.
Nor should you.
For that question, Johnny Great. You just told him he shouldn't be a fan of it, but then when I tell people that they should try and be more conservative or whatever, you yell at me.
I'm liberal. We're allowed to yell at conservatives.
All right. Read the Marking 22 question, please.
All right. This question is from Marking 22. Imagine that none of the rare holiday items and disco returnings could never be traded even from the start. What do you think the economy of RS would look like? And what do you think the prices of other rares would be at? Well, if you can't trade with any of them, then there's no market for it.
Yes. And so there would be no prices of other rares.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing you would...
Because I assume everything would be a rare holiday item, like mask set, Santa hat. You wouldn't be able to trade it. The party hats, pumpkin. What else is there? Easter egg.
Crackers.
Right. Yeah, so there'd be no market for it, and they'd just be vanity items. And, you know, if that was the case, I think all the crackers would be gone, because you can't exactly display a cracker now, can you?
Mm-mm.
So, you think they should have done that way back when?
Nah. I think they should have done it, like, right after the party hat dupe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for those who don't, the purple party hat dupe. Every single one, actually. So for those of you who are too young to remember this, back in RuneScape Classic, there was a huge exploit where you could actually duplicate any item in the game with someone else. So suddenly there was a mass influx of party hats, Halloween masks, and every other rare you can think of, and it drove it. Put all the prices of all the items like really, 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 really low. Like, I bought a mask set for 1 mil at the time, so you can imagine how cheap it was. It is now. Yeah. And they should have done it around
I agree with
that
you.
Time.
They shouldn't have done that. And, you know, I think it all came from the average of people not being able to play on those days, why they made them not tradable. And, you know, it's a matter of who's dedicated to the game and whatnot. And, you know, you could just leave them like that and have the people who are dedicated to the game on those days to log in and check to get those items. It's much like my logic about bonus XP weekend. You log in, you say, hey, it's bonus XP weekend. Let's do some activities that will give you more XP. So in a way, I'm thinking they could be the same way in that regard still. Just focus on making these people more, what's the word I'm looking for? Self-reliant on getting their items, I guess.
Mm.
So.
How much is a cracker now anyway?
I think it's max.
Really? Cracker.
Yeah, I think so.
It's 1.9 bill, so yeah.
Okay, so you can still afford it, almost.
It's basically on par with a white, apparently.
Well, yeah, I still want my white party hat.
If you get a blue one, you actually make a profit, which is actually interesting.
Yeah, so...
Pray for it,
and
blue.
In regards to the economy in general, if there is no rare market, I think that would have. If you think about that, and you say that some of the other armor maybe wouldn't have rose to such high prices, I think it would have moderated the prices a bit more, seeing as that these items are the items in game that are at max price. That's just an idea. Anyways, thank you, Marking22. Next one is from DogLover36. Wonder if he loves dogs. Dear host, one simple question today. The new tasks seem to differ from all the other sets in the fact you need to grind out achievements instead of actually doing them quickly with the required skill. Do you think this is a step in the right or wrong direction? DogLover36/ForgedRS. I'm guessing that's his RS name.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call these grinding out tasks, would you?
Double tricking one sure feels like it.
Yeah, that's the only one, but... I mean, all the other ones, as he mentions, are just using skills, right?
Mm-hmm. And most of the ones that you wait for is the farming one, which you can just do all the other tasks while it's growing up anyway.
Yeah.
As
a matter of fact, before we started the show here, I put my mushrooms in to grow.
That's always good to have.
So, I'm going to have to disagree with you and say that the vast majority of them do have some kind of skill or quest attached to them. One, two, three.
What? Shane?
Just counting.
Finish counting yet?
Yeah, about 41 of the tasks have some kind of skill or quest behind them that you need to in order to do. So I think it's definitely still using skills. It's not like they're sending you out to do X amount of things before you can complete mark the task. Is that the only one I'd consider grinding out would be the two temple trekking ones, but that's acceptable. Temple trekking is a mini game in the area. Yeah, I don't see what other grinding ones are there. I don't know if you're listening to this right after it comes out, but if you are, post in the topic for this episode and tell us which ones you thought were grinding, because I don't see many of them as grinding. So,
maybe it's also thinking about the skills he has to do to get there.
Well, that could be it too, and you know. Let's also remember that task sets are not designed to be completed in one fell swoop. We do that because we have the ability to do that. You and I have been playing the game for 7+ years, so it makes sense for us, in order to have all the skills and all the quests and whatnot in this area to be done, that we just go in and do these, because chances are we've done most of them before. I've crafted blood runes before. I've killed abyssal demons. I've even brewed my own beer in that area before. I've used the ectofunctus before. I've planted mushrooms before. I've done practically everything in this task set. So if they were keeping track of these from beforehand, then yes, I mean, I would have most of them done. So that's why people who have been at the game in a while are just able to go in and do them straight away. Because, well, they've done them all before, so they can just do them again easily. So the point I think I'm trying to make here is that if the task set seems you're grinding stuff out, that's okay, because you're supposed to do these tasks over time. You're not supposed to sit there and do them one weekend. You're supposed to just be wandering through the area and do them as you come along to them. I mean, there's nothing that says you have to do them all right away, except for maybe that early bird boost of 15k XP. So that's the way I see it.
And yeah, we've been playing way too long anyway, so we've done everything.
Yep. So thank you.
Only thing we haven't really done is kill the corporeal beast.
I have.
Did you die?
No. We killed it 3 times.
With Mike?
No, I think it was me, Jeremy, and a few other RSPNBers.
Oh, okay. Huzzah.
Yep. Read the one from Jackie.
All right, question from Jackie. Dear host, I recently wanted to upgrade my RAM in my netbook from 1 GB to 2 GB. Any tips on how I can stay grounded? Also, would you recommend one person purchasing an MacBook Air? I just want something light to carry for the university. Thanks, Jackie. You want to stay grounded? Do something bad and tell your mom and let your mom know.
I think he was meaning electric.
Yes, that was a joke, Shane. God, you're so white. I'm sorry for
him. You know, the best way to do this is, if you're really paranoid, is to get a grounding strap. But in all honesty, I don't do that when I'm doing RAM and whatnot. So it's nothing really to be worried about. The best course of action is to not stand on a carpet floor or something like that. Just stand on a vinyl linoleum floor or hardwood or ceramic tile. And when you do that, touch the inside of the case, like a piece of metal in the case. That will ground you, meaning that any electricity in you will work its way out and you'll be discharged. So that's typically enough if you're just installing RAM. So,
Once putting RAM is pretty easily, you just turn it over, take a screwdriver, unscrew it, and pop it in. Pop one thing out, pop one thing in, depending on what's there.
Yep, that's right.
I like the
MacBook Air.
Yeah, too expensive for me.
If I was in the position I was at 5 years ago, when I was getting a school laptop, no question I would get the MacBook Air for 2 reasons. First reason is I have a powerful enough computer at home that I don't need to use my laptop at home for everything that I want to use. So the MacBook Air is enough in that respect. And secondly, the MacBook Air is so light and so tiny that you can just actually slip it in like your bag or whatever, and it's not even there. So,
or into an envelope.
Yes, they actually made a case, the manila envelope case for the MacBook Air. And also, the MacBook Air price has been dropped since it first came out, so it's by means no slouch of a personal computer. I mean, even though when you're in school, you're probably working in a confined space, the 11-inch would be a perfect size in my view for that. That's the size I would get if I was going to get a MacBook Air. Another nice thing about the Airs is that they all come with flash storage on them, so you don't need to deal with a spinning drive, which makes it a whole lot faster.
Yay!
So, definitely, if you want a Mac, go for the MacBook Air. But if you need more horsepower, go for the MacBook Pro 13-inch model. But for just basic school stuff and web stuff and all that kind of interesting things that most students do, the MacBook Air is more than enough.
Huzzah!
Have you ever been inside an Apple store and played with a MacBook Air?
Yeah, once or twice.
They're pretty nice, aren't they?
Not for the price.
But it's not that. You're paying for the hardware, the Apple OS, and the Apple experience with the support that comes with it. That's all built into the price. It's 100% worth it just for the hardware. You can ask pretty much anybody who's bought one. They'll tell you that. Well, at least the people I know say that. And you guys all know Cheapsnake. He bought a MacBook Pro last year and loves it for the hardware, even though he's not a fan of OS X. He runs Linux on it. So, I mean, it all comes down to the hardware. And I think if you have the money, definitely go for the Air.
Or I could just buy a Windows laptop for half the price and put Linux on it.
Yes, and you have a piece of junk in terms of hardware, cheap plastic quality stuff.
That's why you get picky and pick the ones that works for you.
But by the time you do that, you're spending almost, I'd say, 70% of the price of the Air, so why not just go for the Air?
Shane, some of us don't have parents that are willing to buy an iPad and everything else for them.
The iPad is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. So that's it for questions this week. Reminder, you can send us audio questions like these two folks did here. Email them to questions@rsbnb.com if you record them and want to send us an attachment. Or you can phone them in like they did to the phone number, which is 571-572-2632. Or easily remembered, it's 571-57-BNB. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the username rsbnbupdate and send it in there. All right, so tech news. Are you a Chrome user?
No, not really.
Okay.
That's
too bad.
I'm happy with Firefox right now. No reason for me to switch. Well, although I do use it once in a while for Gmail and whatnot. It's just a little easier.
Okay. Well, we got Google Chrome 18 this week. The main changes in Chrome 18, of course, are a graphics boost for the WebGL 2D canvas. Mm-hmm. So that effectively will increase the performance of 2D games and whatnot. So it'll be faster than it was before, which is good because, you know, most things on the web these days are actually going to be using these new technologies. So it makes sense to have them as fast as possible to provide a desktop-like experience in a web browser. And previously, the Canvas 2D that we're talking about here only used to use your CPU. Now it uses your GPU as well. So, I mean, who thought we'd be seeing the day where a web browser could use a graphics card?
Well, let's see if they partner up with RuneScape like they did in the past, maybe they'll do something about the lag time.
Well, no, that's different because WebGL and Canvas 2D are in no way related to Java.
Uh-huh.
It really wouldn't affect RuneScape. But, I mean, if JX wanted to, they could take Canvas 2D and WebGL and make some kind of great name and use their relationship with Google and the install base they have of Google Chrome in order to ensure their users will have the best performance possible in Chrome. And, you know, you really should try Chrome as your primary browser. It's just so much faster than Firefox is.
I'm happy with Firefox, thank you.
But don't you find it annoying when Firefox takes forever to load?
The only thing I find annoying is when it doesn't load PDF files.
Yeah, exactly. Chrome has a native PDF viewer.
Which is why then I just copy that link and put it onto Chrome or IE.
Well then, why not just use Chrome the entire time?
Because I don't feel like switching to Chrome, boy. Leave Firefox alone!
Ha 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 ha! All right. Well, moving on from that track, they also fixed 9 security releases, and some of these are due to the pwn-to-own failure that we talked about last month. So,
oh, about how someone hacked into Google Chrome and that little
took it out the first time. So,
mm-hmm.
It says Chrome 18 represents the start of hardening measures based on study of exploits submitted to the Pwnium competition. So, I guess Pwnium was very instrumental in highlighting where Chrome has its holes. And, you know, you really never can be too secure in a piece of software because, you know, there's always going to be things happening, new code being added, and you might inadvertently add something that is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, another Google story. Google Drive. Pictures released saying that Google will be releasing a cloud storage service that offers 5 gigabytes of free space. And you can upgrade to get more space at any time. And on this website, they have pictures of your desktop computer, your laptop, your phone, and your tablet all working with Google Drive. They say Google Drive for Windows, so it's going to be something you install to Windows and use. Thoughts?
Not much, really. I guess you can use a lot, like a little thing for Google Documents.
Yeah, and you know, that'd be good if you could access all your Google Documents and stuff with native desktop applications and then just work with them on Google Drive. Because sometimes people might not want to use the Google Docs suite if they have something they prefer to use more so on the desktop. So another interesting thing with this will be how it compares to Dropbox, because we all know Dropbox is just for sending files up there and storing them. So
yes. Just like what Mega Upload was for.
But Dropbox was so much easier than Mega Upload.
Not saying anymore.
I'm wondering when this is going to come out. Because there's nothing here about... well, they say in a few weeks, but... Yeah, we've not heard anything from Google. Maybe it's an April Fool's project.
I think if Google wants to do an April Fool's project, he'll do something better than that. Like, I don't know, claim they're going to change their name.
To?
I don't know, Zoogle?
Okay. but yeah, you're right, probably not. But you want to talk about the Google tablet now?
All right, well, it seems Google's going to make their own tablet. Try and be the next iPad killer. Google inked undauntedly by a short-lived attempt to market and sell smartphones on its own. It's now trying the approach with tablet computers in a quest to capture market share from Apple Inc. Internet search companies will sell co-branded tablets directly to consumers through an online store like rivals Apple and Amazon.com. According to people familiar with the matter, the move is an effort to turn around the sluggish sales of tablet computers powered by Google's Android software. So, Shane, what do you think?
I think it's a good idea because there's not been one tablet released yet that has been able to compete. I mean, truly compete with the iPad.
Uh huh.
And Google might be able to deliver that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the problem before is that all these other tablets have been encumbered by various issues. For instance, the HP touchpad. Well, that happened because that did not succeed because HP decided that it was selling so badly that they were immediately going to stop making them. The BlackBerry Playbook, that didn't have any apps. In this day and age, you need apps for that. all the other Android-based tablets have essentially been bigger Android phone-type operating systems, not exactly scaled up to work nicely with the tablet. And, you know, people say there's no difference between iOS for iPhone and iOS for iPad. Well, there is, actually. They're just very subtle differences that make a big difference in the experience. So It's definitely good that Google is doing something like this. I think that they're one of the two other companies that still has a shot at being able to do this, the other being Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. So, well, if you also think about it, though, the Windows 8 should come out this fall and along with their new tablet, right?
Yep. So yeah, because Windows 8 will run on tablets.
So in theory, by the end of this year, we will have three tablets that want to compete with each other. iPad, Apple's yeah. iPad, Microsoft's tablet, I don't know what it's called yet, though.
It's just going to be outsourced to manufacturers to make it, and then it's just going to run Windows 8.
And the third is Google. There's a Google tablet. So those three are going to be the ones that are going to be fighting with each other. But the thing I'm more wondering is lots of people already have the iPad. You know, it's been there by itself for years. It's pretty much dominating the market because it's been there and was the only one that could do all of this. The problem Microsoft and Google have to solve is, how do I get those people who have the iPad 2 and the iPad 1 but don't want to get the iPad 3 switch to me? That's the thing that they have to try and figure out. What new innovation or, you know, subtle things that they will do differently that the iPad will not do?
They're not going to be able to do that for 6 months or so.
Well, they have, you know, and to the rest end of the year to figure that out.
And, you know, the new iPad set a really high benchmark with its 2048x1536 screen. And when you compare it with other tablets out there, people are not going to want a lower quality screen. Apple's got that high resolution screen market consumed on their own. They're a monopsonist in that area, meaning they control. They're the only buyer in that, and they're just sucking the entire stream up until it can be made easier. So these two are going to have a pretty hard time. I think they're going to have the same kind of compelling hardware. They'll probably be able to get away with not having the same screen, but they're going to need to do something, like you said, that will draw people away. And, you know, Microsoft is on the right track with Metro. I will say that. And I don't know what the Android store is going to do with this, because all the Android applications are designed to work on phones of different sizes in terms of screen size. So if you take that up to a desktop size, you're not going to exactly get a good phone experience on a tablet. They're just two different devices.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to do something about their Android apps, I think. That's going to be one part of it. Second part will be the hardware. And the third part will be marketing.
Mm.
Because when it comes down to it, it's all the same parts, right?
Yes. Which one can you drop and not break?
The Microsoft ones.
Or they should make it out of Nokia. You remember those phones, Shane?
Yeah, those things used to... like a brick.
It's kind of funny how Nokia is coming back, but more of an internet meme.
Yeah. Anyways, interesting tech news this week. So that's it for that. On to some other things. You want to take the Skill of the Month update, or should I?
You do it.
All right. So, unfortunately, we were hoping somebody would spice this competition up in the last week, but it does not appear that that's happened. So, everything's pretty much the same as last week. Marking 22 is winning with 3.7 million experience gained. Second place is Ara with 2 million experience gained. And third place is KJTH with 1.5 million experience gained.
I wonder what he's killing.
I don't know. I know back in the olden days for this kind of skill of the month, you'd do Pest Control or Soul Wars, but I don't think people do that anymore.
They still do. Soul Wars and Pest Control are still pretty popular. I think they're now, though, they're more of like joining clans of people to do it really fast, and also for people who just kind of want to go out and see how much damage you can do really, really fast. Check out the TPS, okay. try out you know, different armors and weapons type of thing.
Oh, speaking of DPS, if anybody wants to calculate DPS, you can do that on our max hit calculator, which is also the combat equipment calculator. Just go to calculators on the side of the RSVNB page, fill out your loadout, and then if you go over to Melee Max Hit, it will tell you what your DPS is.
All right, let's take a look. Oh, okay. So you put in all the items. Yeah. Let's see.
Or you could just go to the Max Hit page and, or no, you need a weapon first in order to choose that.
Okay.
And your strength bonus. So you do need to fill it out.
All right.
But you can do that later and post it. Achievements of the week. So I'll start. First up is iZant with 99 Dungeoneering on March 27th.
Yay! Congrats to Jade Gizmo for 99 Fletching on March 25th.
And we got two here from the same person on the same day. Lethorskite, I think I said that right, with 99 Crafting and 99 Herblar on March 24th. So congratulations to you all.
Have fun. Wow, it's a little bit of everything this week.
Yeah, it is. Dungeoneering, and then a few production skills, and then the support skill as well. So, I have a pick this week.
Go.
So, you know what tomorrow is? Saturday from at 8:30 p.m. I think.
Oh, Earth Hour.
Yes. My pick is not Earth Hour.
Okay.
My pick is not Earth Hour. It's something else. It's something much more worthy than Earth Hour. It fills the same time slot between 8:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. It's called Human Achievement Hour.
Okay.
So rather than turning all your lights off, I'll read you what you're supposed to do during Human Achievement Hour. Human Achievement Hour is a celebration of individual freedom and appreciation of the achievements and innovations that people have used to improve their lives throughout history. To celebrate Human Achievement Hour, participants need only to spend the hour from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. on March 31st enjoying the benefits of capitalism and human innovation. Gather with friends in the warmth of a heated home, watch television, take a hot shower, drink a beer, call a loved one on the phone, or listen to music. On Saturday, March 31st, some people will shut off their lights, spend an hour in the darkness as a symbolic vote against global climate change. Observers of Earth Hour want world leaders to do something about pollution and energy use. What this means is they want politicians to use legal mandates and punitive taxes to prevent individuals from freely using resources and hindering our ability to create the solutions and technologies of the future. Instead, the Competitive Enterprise Institute asks you to spend that hour with your lights on in celebration of Human Achievement Hour.
So you don't want to be a hippie for an hour?
No. I'm going to do exactly what Human Achievement Hour tells me to do.
So in other words, you're going to do what every other normal human being who doesn't care about Earth Hour is just be on the computer.
Yeah, and I'm also going to turn the Christmas lights on.
Why would you turn the Christmas lights on?
To use more power.
So you want to waste your mom's electricity bill?
Yeah, only for an hour, though.
Where I had it, when you turn on every single TV and turn the thermostat all the way up?
No, because that would make the house too hot.
You're always screaming, it's too cold.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you do.
So, no. So, I'm also wrapping up Shane's pictures. Next week is the last week to submit them because the project I'm working on is actually nearing completion. So, we do need those Shane's pictures entries in by the end of next week or even sooner. So just a reminder what that is, you can head on over to RuneWire, use the hashtag Shane's Pictures and post pictures of your RuneScape combat armor, any kind of outfit you use in RuneScape to be used on updating our stat signature images. Also, please be sure to turn your texture quality up to high and turn anti-aliasing on if your computer can handle such a thing, because that just makes the picture look even better. So we want to make these signatures look as good as they can look and have them ready for 2012, given the fact that all the armor and whatnot has been updated, huge amounts of armor. So please do keep that in mind. And we would really like it if you could send that in.
Yes, please.
So, what have you been doing?
Did the task, did those, and then that was pretty much it. Did a little bit of slaying, and make some dragon, make some glories that came in.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, I sold them for, I got them roughly 200, and I sold it for 3k profit each. I do
very
love
good.
Glories. Yes, and pretty soon we'll have somebody come up and ask, how do you make money out of these things? And I'll be like, did you not listen to me for the past, you know, what, a year, what, 6 months that I've said how I make money and I've posted that on the site and everything else? So I'm not telling them again. If you don't listen, it's not my fault.
Yeah, and you know, it's very simple. You just try and buy the cut dragon stones for enough below the actual sell price of the glories, and then you just want to enchant the glories and sell them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you. Do you ever wish that you could have an Enchant X?
Yes! But, you know, it hasn't been in here for a while, and I think I'm one of the few people actually mass enchant, so I don't see that coming out anytime soon.
Okay.
Because normally people just enchant, you know, oh, a couple of things. All right, I got my amulet. I'm done.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I usually use it as well. So,
actually, reminds
anyways.
Me, I need to make more game necklaces.
Ooh.
I need to make more.
As for me this week, I got started on the tasks. I also did something else this week. I forget what it was, though, on RS.
Farming run.
Oh, dungeoneering. We went dungeoneering a few times this week.
Yes. Shane's finally in the
crusher.
Cult. You did?
Yes. Remember?
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
I got
my bone crusher, so that's one of my 2012 goals complete. And you're right. I did unlock the occult floors, so I'm getting a massive XP now. So we've been doing those dungeoneering runs every couple of nights.
Yay.
You, Mike, Jeremy, and myself.
Mm-hmm. Could use a fifth, but can get a decent fifth.
Yeah, four
so
is good
far.
Enough.
Yeah, we can't get a
four
decent
is good
fifth.
Enough. And aside from that, this week's just been a very busy week in terms of proofreading, coding, and all that other kind of stuff. So I wished I would have got the easy and medium task done, but I didn't because I had to proofread 2 Informer articles. Or no, just 1, and my Informer article, so yeah, 2. And also 2 other things had to be read as well. So it's just been a very busy week for writing stuff and whatnot. But you can find my article at informer.rsbnb.com. It is covering the changes in Windows 8 and Mountain Lion about which way the OS is going. I hope it's semi-coherent.
Mountain Lion.
Yes, Mountain Lion.
Okay.
So that's it for me. I'm done. Unless you have anything else.
Happy Earth Day. Earth Hour.
Happy Human Achievement Hour.
All right, whichever
said,
you
we'll
choose.
See you all next week.
Whichever you choose, remember you made a great decision.
See you next week, everyone.